Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for making all this possible. Thank you, Lord, for giving victory to your saints. Thank you for causing many out there to begin to listen to your word and be protected from these curses that are coming upon the world. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to share a word here with you. We're continuing with the Faction Election War 1, number 27. And this one is about the new plague being defeated for and by the saints. First revelation is given to Claire Pinar, 10-6-20. Last year. It's very good. I dreamed I was in a rondawel type setting, which is an African round clay house with a thatched grass roof. A round dwelling with open windows, no glass. It was large. And there were many rooms that went off into various directions within the house. There was lush green vegetation all around, and the smell of meat being broiled or barbecued. The saints, meaning the sanctified ones, who keep covenant by sacrifice of their flesh, represented by the barbecue here, in the midst of their fiery trial, are an aroma to God. There's no curse upon the people who are taking up their cross and following Jesus. And Claire went on to say, it was nighttime, and there were many saints in there. Joe Britz was one of them. It looked like an old restaurant I used to work at as a hostess when I was a student called Tribes. And she put all the nations/Gentiles who are called are together by faith and belong together. Romans 1, 5, and 6 says, through whom we received grace and apostleship unto obedience of the faith. Notice that there is an obedience of the faith. Faith without works is dead, right? Among all the nations for his namesake, among whom are ye also called to be Jesus Christ. Okay. She said, I went over to the front door and I saw a really tiny little snake slither in. It looked more like a tapeworm. It was so small. But I overreacted. And this represents the overreaction to what COVID-19 has become. As all man-made diseases, it deteriorated. In this case, it went from the L strain to the S strain shortly after its creation in Wuhan until it is much more like the flu now. Matter of fact, I believe it was the CDC that admitted it was like the flu now, finally. I think they're looking at a lot of lawsuits. WHO also, from lawyers from around the world for this con game called COVID-19. So I'm seeing them back off of some things, you know, a little late, but they're doing it. It's already cost a lot of people their economy, and it agreed with the deep state because that's what they wanted to do. So anyway, Claire said, I screamed and I said, get that snake out of here. And I believe that this is being said because this plague has no rights in the sanctified house of God. Remember, the serpent on the pole was a symbol of God having taken the curse of the bite of the fiery serpents. The medical establishment stole this symbol, and they still use it today. But they don't use the method of God whatsoever. Their method is pharmakia, which is translated witchcraft in the Bible. And because it's not the method that Jesus or his disciples used at all. And it's the most powerful method today because when we're weak to do things by man's works, God is powerful to act. As long as we're continuing to try to heal ourselves, when the Bible says very plainly he's already healed us, we are not entering into the rest. We are not ceasing from our works, and we get mixed results because of that. The more you give over to God, the more he will give to you. That's the way it works. And if we don't cease from our works, keeping our spiritual Sabbath, he's displeased. I know when people are ignorant, he's very graceful and merciful. But when they reject what the scripture has to say, the more they do that, the less grace they get. So in this serpent on the pole, as I say, is a symbol of God having taken the curse of the bite of the fiery serpents. And it's a symbol, obviously, that Jesus, who became accursed for us, bore our curse of sin and death on the cross, including sickness. And by whose stripes ye were healed. Numbers 21:4-9 says, and they journeyed from Mount Or by way to the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, and there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Well, the manna, of course, was a symbol of Jesus himself, the manna, the bread out of heaven. Jesus said he was the bread out of heaven, and so, which is the word of God. So they got tired of the word of God and began to speak against it. Well, that's a dangerous thing, you know. I mean, life and death are in the power of the tongue. When we agree with God, we can walk with him. How can two walk together except they be agreed, right? We get his benefits. The Bible says, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. And it's a matter of, you know, turning loose. And it's a learned thing. It's not necessarily something that somebody... I mean, I'm not saying that babes in Christ can't pick it up and run with it. They're pretty powerful by the grace of God, you know. But a lot of times it's a learned thing, and you step by step, you begin to put things completely in God's hands, which is the most powerful thing you can do. And Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. It's past tense, by the way. And you shall have them. Believe you received them, and you shall have them. And when you believe you receive, you can cease from your own works and enter into the rest, as Paul said. So, I believe this loathing, this light bread, represented their hatred for the word of God, which brings us out from under the curse of sin and death, including sickness. You know, sickness is just death working in us. That's what sickness is. And back to verse 6 here. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You know, in Deuteronomy 28, as you read it, you find out that God specifically taught over and over that he sent the curse in order to turn man away from sin and to him. So he commanded them to cease from their rebellion and turn unto him and obey his words. And of course, this is the way of eternal life. Yeah. The snake bite is the curse that brings death, just as it did in this parable. And as Jesus said in Romans 8, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. My daddy used to have a saying that I'm pretty sure he didn't even know where it came from. But of course, after I started reading the Bible, I realized where it came from right here. You know, he spoke of people who just seemed cursed, saying he or she is snake bit. That's a term he used. They're snake bit. In other words, they're living under this curse that we're talking about right here. A lot of people are, and they can't get out from under it. And you can tell them the way, but it takes repentance and faith. Okay? And if you're under a curse, what would save you from this plague? I'm talking about the one that is beginning to manifest out there right now because of the vaccines. And is going to get worse and worse. So, well, when you have a curse, find out why it's there and how to get rid of it. You know, read our little book. It's very easy to understand. It's called God's Vaccine. And these plagues are not going to stop all the way through the tribulation period. It's an attempt. These are made by men who are Satanists, who have no respect for life whatsoever, and they're looking for people to humbly submit to them so that they can exterminate them through vaccine after vaccine after vaccine. A lot of the sickness that's out there now is from vaccines. Do your study. Find out. Verse 7, and the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, because we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Well, this is really good. This is a first step to repent of sin and to stop calling God a liar. If we agree with him, you can be healed and healthy. Galatians 3 and 13, just think about it. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. When you go and read the curse of the law, you see all these sicknesses that have come upon humanity. He not only sent the curse of the law, he sent the Savior to give us the right way so that we could have his health and blessings. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is sickness in Deuteronomy 28, very clearly, and many other things, but sickness too. Having become a curse for us. So he became our curse. He took our curse upon himself. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And of course he did. the cross. Cursed. Their curse fell upon Jesus. He wants us to believe that so we can be delivered of it. That's how faith works. It calls the things that be not as though they were, right? And 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed. You see, he already took the curse. And again, you know, go to our book. You'll find all these things there very simply. And they could save your life, the life of your loved ones, if not now, later, because this is not going to stop. If you read the book of Revelation, you see very plainly it's going to continue. Mad scientists, crazy people, lunatics, Satanists who hate you anyway and want to destroy you and destroy Christianity, of course. Communists, same thing. Communists have the same spirit, you know. Okay. So, continuing on. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Now we know what the serpent is. It's a symbol of sin. It's a symbol of the devil who administers the curse of sin. Okay. And set it upon a standard, he said. That's the cross again. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, in other words, by sin and its curse, when he seeth it, shall live. When he seeth it, he shall live. Yeah, verse 9 says, and Moses made a serpent of brass and set it upon a standard. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, in other words, the curse of the sin, which is sickness, disease, lack, you know, on and on. When he looketh unto the serpent of brass, he lived. So you got to get your eyes off the problem and on the promise. The promise is you don't have that curse anymore. It was put upon him. Even your sin was put upon him. It's already done. Now, everybody can't catch on to this because they don't know what faith is. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Why? Because it already happened at the cross. What we're talking about in this parable already came to pass at the cross. It's done. You know, why is it that the Lord gives us these past tense promises all the time? It's because it's already happened. Why is it necessary for us to understand it's already happened? So we will cease from our own works. Because salvation is not through man's works. In any form, it's not through man's works. And God is offended when we think we can heal ourselves and he is the healer. And so people that frantically run around looking for ways to heal themselves, they have never come to the revelation that this has already been accomplished at the cross. So, we need to repent, change our mind, get our eyes on the fact that Jesus already took away the curse. And so it's so we can be healed and healthy. Yes, we go through trials of our faith. Yes, we can go through chastenings too. And but we keep our eyes on the serpent on the pole. We confess our sins, so he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And then we exercise our faith for our healing because it's already accomplished. So she went on. She said, get that snake out of here. But not out of fear, just out of indignation that it would even try to come into our space. Interesting. It's true. Just then a huge snake appeared and slithered behind the little snake. It looked like a Mozambique python. It swallowed up the little wormy snake. So, get the snake out of here. It's not supposed to be in our space, right? The plague is the one that we've warned of to the president and our broadcast community. Everyone will forget COVID-19 when the new man-made plague appears. And it's starting to happen in front of our eyes, and people don't recognize it. People are dropping dead. Yes. From various reasons of the vaccine. And that's going to increase, and people are going to get more and more diseases as this thing goes on. And, of course, COVID-19 will be, they'll bring out a new scam. It'll be some perversion of COVID-19, they say. Okay? Nope. So it'll be blamed on the new strain. No, it's the vaccines. And so they can vaccine you to death one right after another every time something new pops up. And while you cry for a vaccine to them, begging them to kill you, instead of calling out to the Lord and asking for his gift of faith, he said, by grace have you been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, they've boasted about the vaccines, and they're killing people. Well, this huge snake turned and looked at me and opened his mouth wide and bared his fangs and said, you're next. Of course, that's what the devil always tells you. Oh, look what happened over here. Look what happened over there. You know, they didn't read Psalm 91, did they? On your left and on your right. You're next. I was pretty scared then. Well, the left is going to try to scare everyone into submission to their plague, which is the vaccine. Okay? Now, we've already covered that if you want to go back and look at previous broadcasts in this particular category. You'll find that we've covered it very well and proven this very well. I turned to see who would help me, and I saw an old friend from primary school. His name was Duran, which means firm, enduring. And I believe he represents the firm in the faith, in the promises, and in this case, for health. And the people that endure to see it fulfilled have this endurance, and they have this faith. Matthew 24:13. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It's not just muddling through that he's talking about. He's talking about enduring in your faith. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. What is temptation? You're being tempted to not believe the word of God. For when he hath been approved, in other words, enduring in his faith, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. So how can you prove someone loves the Lord? He said, because you keep his commandments. Okay. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. There it is. Were healed. It's already done. You don't have to worry about it. You can enter into the rest, ceasing from your own works, so that God can do His. Right? Exodus 12 and 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall be no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now God is smiting the land of Egypt, which is, like most people believe, it's a representation of the world, right? But sad thing is, the church is so worldly that they're bearing the curse too, because they do not believe the word of God, plain and simple. Psalm 91 and 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. And this, Zechariah 14 and 12 says, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. That's the bride. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. So there are curses upon the peoples who do not believe, including, it makes no difference if you call yourself a Christian. If you do not believe, the curse will come. These signs will accompany them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If your elders don't do that, then possibly they aren't elders, or you don't believe, one or the other. He walked over to the snake and distracted it. That's this endurance fellow here. He distracted it by throwing something, I believe it's sin, outside the house. He distracted the snake by throwing sin. That'll distract the snake right there, I guarantee it. The cleansing of the church makes it powerful and gives it our rights to immunity. Proverbs 10 and 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness delivereth from death. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay. That's very cool. So, he's faithful to cleanse us. We just need to be faithful to repent and believe, right? The snake turned to see what was thrown out. Why should that get his attention? Well, his fear is that you will repent and throw your sins out, because the spirit of infirmity and sickness has authority when sin is in the house. He was checking to see what authority he just lost. That's why he was looking at this. Now let me say, you're accounted righteous by your faith. If you believe that Jesus took away your sins, even your sin of unbelief, if you believe he nailed it on that cross, you're accounted as righteous until righteousness is manifested in your life. You see, you want it, you desire it, you're believing God for it, etc. You're accounted righteous. Even before you are righteous, you're accounted righteous. And because the Lord is the only one that can overcome this flesh. You can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. But he lives in you through your faith in his promises to do that very thing. And Exodus 15 and 26 says very plainly, "And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes," that's what we call repentance, changing your mind, going the other way, right? "And will give ear to his commandments." See, people turn away from his commandments, and they don't want to hear them because they don't have any hope that they can obey him or that he will answer them, or many other things, you know. Condemnation, unbelief, fear, doubt. "Give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians." Who put them upon the Egyptians? The Lord said he did it. It is the righteous curse on the sinner. And we're sinners saved by grace. You know. And let me put it this way. We were sinners, and now we're saved by grace, right? Yeah. "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." So here's your vaccine right here. Repent and believe. That's your vaccine. You if you're doing the things that he wants you to do, you can have boldness towards God, right? "And it was turned," Duran picked up, "as it was turned," that means it was turned looking at what he had thrown out, right? "Duran picked up a small vaccine and thrust the shiny metal needle into the back of the snake's neck." Well, evidently this vaccine is deadly. The vaccine for the plague is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me say, there's probably two things you can see here. This vaccine is killing the snake. That's not only their vaccine that they made to bring down the population. It is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is death to spirits of infirmity. Okay. And she went on to say, "like as shown in the book by David Eales, God's Vaccine." Yes. And that's on our site free. You can go there. I'll put the link here. You can go there and read it for free, or you can buy it from someone. We don't get any money off of it at all. We don't make any. We took the lowest, you know, and we refused any remuneration. So you're paying the very cheapest you can possibly pay for that book, and it's their cut for printing and shipping and so on. Okay. Even one small word, she says, it was a small vaccine. "Even one small word in faith will kill the enemy." Yeah, in the midst of the trial, if you will speak the word of God, you'll find power. "If you confess him before men, he will confess you before the Father, and the Father will confess you before the angels, who are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation." Yeah. Ephesians 6 and 17, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That's your sword against the enemy. Repeat the Word of God. Don't repeat the things that are. Don't claim the sickness. Claim the benefits of Jesus, by whose stripes you were healed. "Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised." Confession means homologeo, speak the same as. Say what God says. Don't speak against the Lord, as we've already seen. "The snake turned around and wailed," saying, "This will be the death of me." Yeah. Even a small dose of this, you know. It only takes a mustard seed of faith, right? And she said, "I was so glad that Duran," which means endurance in faith, right, "was there. I said, 'Do you think it'll be enough to kill him?' And he said, 'Yep, but he's going to suffer first." So, this plague will cause suffering and hopefully give people time to repent before they die. The saints, meaning sanctified ones, will be preserved. Please prepare yourselves and your friends and your family for this plague and many more that are coming down the road, as we can read in the book of Revelation. Again, I told you, we make zero money on these books. We just want you to get the truth that heals and delivers and keeps healthy, right? So you can learn from God's vaccine and how to be protected, and you can also order it on the site. And after this plague and the destruction of the deep state at their Red Sea, spiritual and physical prosperity will come to the bride. It's a fact that the large majority of those being taken down by the vaccines are leftists in the world and in the church, because they do not believe the word to be saved. Now, let me say, you cannot legislate morality. You can't condemn people into having faith. You just can't. All it does is make it worse, because they begin condemning themselves, and when you do that, you don't have any faith. You try to put faith in them. You speak it to them gracefully, and you try to put faith in them. That's your job. You're a minister of reconciliation. That means being reconciled unto God. And being reconciled to God means that you take the curse off of them and you put it upon Jesus by causing them to believe what they see on the serpent on the pole. You're making reconciliation, you see. And you're taking what Jesus gave us freely, which was his health, and giving it to them. Reconciliation means an exchange. You're exchanging the curse for the blessing. And by faith, all you have to do is believe the promise. You're making this exchange. And you need to tell people that. This is the gospel. It's been forgotten. And the dream setting then changed, and Rion and I were driving my aunt and her husband to our house, which I thought was in Rosebery. We were pointing out the really dodgy houses as we drove by and said, "These houses are all so forlorn and small." And she said, "I think this shows the poverty of the gospel that is being preached in so-called houses of faith." I agree, dead on. And how this will not prosper apostate Christianity. Hosea 4, 6 through 10 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But they have to receive knowledge when you give it to them, especially straight out of the Bible, right? "They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also will forget thy children. As they were multiplied, so they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people, and set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways, and I will requite them for their doings. And they shall eat and shall not have enough, and they shall play the harlot, and shall not increase, because they have left off taking heed to the Lord. Yes, they are in idolatry. Most Christians are in idolatry with their religion, and they're not going to receive anything from the Word if their religion tells them something different. Of course, it ought to be the other way around. Also, our town in the natural is in a place called the Wilderness Wilds. The bride's house is prepared for the wilderness. Yes, it is. John said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." The bride here was those first fruits disciples who followed him. They taught the first woman church in the wilderness, and so it will be today. Jesus taught the church out in the wilderness, same word for desert. He went out into the desert. He couldn't do it under the Pharisees because they would give him trouble and the people would be afraid of him and so on and so forth. So, Revelation 12 and 6, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. 3.5 years there fed, like Jesus did, the woman. And then they faced the beast and the harlot in the second 3.5 years. Revelation 13. And the wilderness here represents a place of no longer being slaves to the old man of the Egyptians. Remember, Paul talked about the Red Sea being a baptism. The old man died, the new man came up on the other side, right? It's a place where their needs came out of heaven rather than Egypt. There's no difference between apostate Christians and the world. That's why they depend upon man's vaccines that are killing them and have been doing it. Jeremiah 17:5-10 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh the flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert," like a tumbleweed, right? "And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh, or plague. But its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Amen. Well, my aunt and uncle were shocked that we lived here in this dreary place and did not want to believe that there could be a beautiful part of the town. Yeah, people look at the wilderness as just a bad place, you know, but in the wilderness, they got miracles from God. They learned that God was God, you know. Or they didn't, and they died there. So the beautiful place in the wilderness of our own provision, that's what it is. It's a wilderness of your own provision, because when you go out into the wilderness like the Israelites did, you can't bring it all with you. And after a while, it's all gone anyway. And then you're totally dependent upon God. Right? And that's the way it is with a lot of Christians. They carry what they can, but they find it fails them. So it's a wilderness of our own provision. It's a place of God's provision, and it was for the Israelites where manna came from the sky and water came out of the rock. You know, can you imagine? Yeah. Then we came up to our house, and it looked like a mansion on a plantation of the southern parts of the USA, because she lives on the other side of the world, right? It was gorgeous. Everything was white and new and freshly painted and just perfect. Yeah, the bride will stand out in the crowd as a sign to others of God's favor on those who believe and live the true gospel. She went on to say, I actually couldn't believe Rion and I were living there. John 14 and 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. We walked into this one-story house as I heard a car pull up, and it was another friend, also called Sue. Sue is a derivative of a Hebrew name meaning lily or rose. And when I went back into the house, it had gotten even bigger. And we now had a west wing, east wing situation with at least two levels. So the bride will be greatly matured at the time of the man-child ministry, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Proverbs 9, 1 and 2 says, wisdom. Do you know who wisdom is? Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. So he is the Word, right? That's how we get his wisdom, is we read the Word. Proverbs 9, 1 and 2, wisdom hath builded her house. The house is built by the Word. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Kill your beasts, folks. Read the Word. Kill your beasts. I walked through the whole house showing Sue around, and it was even more beautiful than the previous home. There were pictures of a little Middle Eastern boy up on in the bedrooms and at the front entrance of the house. And I thought, this little guy must belong to the owner of the house. Yes, he is the man-child born of the Father, born of the Word of God. And he is foreign to this world, like Jesus, who lives in him by his Word and Spirit. He's foreign to this world. You know, you can accept the religion that men accept because they don't want to be weird. Or you can be weird. It's better to be weird. You know, Jesus was looked upon by everybody as weird, except for those disciples, right? And she went on to say he was precious to look at. And the photo frames were gilded gold. Now, I believe that represents, or she said, the revealing of the man-child. Yes, amen. And value. This is a very valuable person. We were sitting in one of the lounges, and we had our Bibles open, meaning resting in the Word. And I was retelling a story of how I prepared food in the kitchens. I said, yes, the kitchens, plural. Who knew I'd ever live in a house with two kitchens? And the two Sues, Bruce and Rion, laughed. The kitchens were beautiful, spacious, and had loads of space for food preparation, as well as long, large tables where many could eat together. The man-child's training of the bride is to go forth with the prepared food of God's Word to his people, just as it was in Jesus' day. And this is the food that builds the house of wisdom, who is Christ and who is the Word, right? That's wisdom. There was an industrial-sized food processor on the bench of the first kitchen and an industrial-sized washer hose in the second kitchen. And this represents the bride feeding the newly called out ones the Word of God. Amen. Then the scene changed again. And I was walking down a narrow bush path, and I saw one of my neighbors out to the left of the path. Her name, Sophia, means wisdom in Greek. But in this dream, she seemed to lack wisdom. Indeed, she is of the world, and as yet unregenerate, so any wisdom will be folly to her. As Solomon has written, Ecclesiastes 2, 12 through 14, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king? What can a man do that cometh after the king? Well, he said, Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, deny yourself, what you believe, what you, the way you live, contrary to God, on deny self and follow Jesus. Even that which hath been done long ago. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, and the fool walketh in darkness. And yet I perceived that one event happeneth to them all. I would say it's death and destruction, right? Follow after wisdom, right? She explained that her mother had just died and that she was pregnant with her third child, and she was unsure about who'd help her through the first few days of the baby's new life. She was having a little girl. I offered her to come back to the house where everyone was, back to the place of wisdom. Let me share with you some wisdom, right? But she said no. I offered to pray for her, but she did not want that either. I've prayed over people who call themselves Christians, or tried to, and they didn't want it. And I tried to give them wisdom from the place of wisdom, and they don't want it. So some just don't want to follow God. They just want his benefits. And they're crying about not having his benefits. So they wander around under the curse, the devil taking advantage of all their sin and whipping them really good. I then saw her mother in a vision in front of me on a black hospital bed, dead in the physical, but alive in the spirit. And she said, I wish I could go back and choose better. Hear that? I wish I could go back and choose better. I could not say or do anything. And the vision disappeared, and I woke up. So when the bride, as an example of God's ability to sanctify and perfect those who follow him, when this bride appears, many will wish that they had chosen the biblical path. Psalm 6, 8, and 9 says, there are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number, but my dove, my undefiled, that's the word perfect right there, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. Now, folks, the bride is not the church. You're looking at it just as plain as it can be. 80 queens, 80 concubines, virgins without number, but my dove, my undefiled, is but one. And they're one with each other, and they're one with God. The daughter saw her. Here you go. The daughter saw her and called her blessed, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Yeah, they're wishing they had taken the path that this fanatic that went through Song of Solomon, it running after her Lord, and they were wondering, what's wrong with this fanatic, you know? Yeah. And 13. Return, O Shulamite, return, that we may look upon thee. Why will you look upon the Shulamite as upon the dance of the Mahanaim? Return. They wanted to look at her. Let's see, what is it that God chose here? What is it that the king chose here? Too late. It was just like what was said. I wish I could go back and choose better. I asked the Lord for a verse for this dream. And received by faith, John 6:51, on live forever. I am the bread, the living bread, the word, which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Yes. God is so awesome. He has wisdom to give us. And that wisdom will bring life. And this verse, she says, relates to all three dreams. The bread must be eaten to defeat the enemy. Those who eat rest on the promises of the word of faith. And they will have a beautiful place prepared for them in the wilderness. And those who do not eat the word will face eternal separation. Amen. Okay. And there's more here. If you want to read the text, you can. Basically, what we're saying is repent. Repent of trusting in man. It's going to kill a lot of people. And it's going to kill apostate Christians because they don't believe the Word of God. And even though it's been offered to them, they don't want it. As the example we just read, you know, they don't want it. So repent and believe. God's Word is not going to be changed for anybody. And He does not permit us to add to it or take away from it. Under threat of the curse of the last four verses of the book, right? So, forget your dead religion. Go home and read your Bible. Put the Word of God in your heart. It will inoculate you against the snake bite. Praise the Lord. All right, saints, God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. And, okay. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Good night.